So what if I told you that the cement being poured on a highway today could actually determine your child's future income?
I mean, it sounds a bit dramatic, right? But looking at the numbers, it's true.
It really is. Today we are doing a deep dive into the 2021-2022 annual report from the Western Cape Department of Transport and Public Works.
And it is a fascinating read, honestly.
Totally. And our mission today is really to understand how government infrastructure isn't just about, pouring concrete.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about actively shaping society, healing historical divides, and empowering citizens. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, it's a fundamental shift in how we view public works. Like, instead of just static buildings or basic maintenance, the physical infrastructure outlined in this report acts as the region's circulatory system.
Like a heartbeat.
Right. Take the Victoria Hospital, for example. They added this massive new emergency center.
Oh, wow. What did that actually include?
It has a 17-bed treatment area, an 18-bed observation ward, and entirely new dedicated ambulance access points.
Which is huge. But a state-of-the-art hospital is kind of useless if those ambulances can't actually reach it safely,
Exactly.
like if the mountain passes are degrading. Which brings us to the Baines-Kloof Pass repair.
Yeah, that project was intense. It required stabilizing slopes and resealing roads that run right through a nature reserve and a national monument.
See, I get that the pass needed fixing to keep transit routes open, but why spend so much time and money, like tiptoeing around a nature reserve? Wouldn't it be cheaper and faster to just blast a new, wider road straight through the mountain?
What's fascinating here is that infrastructure spending isn't just about taking the easiest route. The government prioritizes based on economic importance, traffic volume, and really strict safety and heritage constraints.
Right, you can't just dynamite a historical site. It's like performing open-heart surgery on an antique.
That is a great way to put it. You pull the wrong loose rock to lay the asphalt, and the whole heritage site and local ecosystem come tumbling down.
Okay, so the physical roads are incredibly complex. But how do we transition from building roads to actually empowering the people using and building them?
Well, the report mentions the contractor development program and its modular design.
Modular design. What does that actually mean in practice?
It basically means emerging contractors don't have to put their livelihoods on hold to go back to school.
Oh, that's smart.
Right. The program is broken into manageable modules so they can study the business of construction while actively running their own construction businesses.
So are we just building things or are we actually building people?
We're building people. And that economic empowerment ties directly into public mobility, like the Go George bus
Which
service.
is the first complete integrated transport system outside a major South African city, right?
Exactly. But bus routes alone don't create wealth.
No, of course not.
That's why physical mobility, like the Go George network and a 247 provincial traffic service, must be paired with economic mobility.
Like the expanded public works program.
Yes. That program steps in to provide temporary paid work. It gives marginalized individuals practical on-the-job experience.
So they can eventually transition into the formal job market.
You hit the nail on the head. You are creating the workforce that builds the roads and the roads that carry the workforce.
So what does this all mean for how cities are actually laid out? We've talked about what is being built and who builds it, but the report places a massive emphasis on where things are built.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to look at the Conradie Park development in Pinelands.
Okay, tell me about that one.
It's built on state land and uses a live work play learn design.
Meaning everything is right there in one place.
Right. Housing, schools, commercial spaces, and recreation are all concentrated into one single highly accessible node. But the crucial mechanic here is that 49% of those units are affordable, grant-funded housing.
Wait, almost half.
Almost half.
How does placing affordable housing, specifically in Pinelands, change the socioeconomic landscape? And just to be clear for you listening, we're just looking at the stated goals in the report here, not taking a political stance on the policies themselves. We just want to unpack the strategy.
Totally. So Pinelands is historically an affluent, centrally located area. By placing mixed-income developments there, the government is deliberately trying to address the spatial legacy of apartheid.
Which pushed lower-income communities to the extreme outskirts of the city.
Exactly. Moving affordable housing to the inner city drastically cuts down commute times for marginalized workers.
It opens up immediate access to economic hubs.
And it provides a foundation for generational wealth. The report essentially uses urban planning as an active agent for social justice.
Wow, it really changes how you look at city planning. For you listening, Take a look at the roads, the clinics, and the bus stops in your own neighborhood.
Yeah, try to see them not just as structure.
Right, but as deliberate choices about who gets access to opportunity and who gets to thrive.
Every single zoning decision and transit route is basically a piece of social engineering.
Which leaves us with this final thought to mull over. If our roads and buildings silently dictate how we live, work, and interact with one another, what future social changes are currently being built in cement today, right under our feet, before we even notice them?